Radio America, and the rest of the world, I guess. It's time for I'll Have a Beer and Talk, the podcast where I, your host Gary, has a beer and talks about a couple interesting stories you may have missed that were published on that their internet thing, while I enjoy that beer that I mentioned. Beer education, informative facts, terrible dry puns, this show has it all. If you're looking for just those three things. Today is the last day of the year 2016. Unlike other tech podcasts that have taken the rest of the year off, I am right here, still making shows, because I like to drink and talk about stuff and things. And I've lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, let me tell you about the beer that I have. That'll get me back on track. This is the first of the big McLarge huge batch of quality rando beers from across this great nation gifted to me on the anniversary of my arrival on Earth by friend of the show Josh Denault. This beer is extremely new, so I had trouble finding a link to information about it for the show notes. It arrived on this planet recently and became available for consumption this past November. I have Fort Collins Brewery's Double Down, a 5.5% ABV Goza IPA. And yes, it is in fact a combination of a Goza, which is an unfiltered wheat beer with a little bit of sea salt and coriander added, and an India Pale Ale, known for being very hoppy with citrus and floral notes. The brewers were going for a style that had the best qualities of both styles of beer, so let's see if they've succeeded and switch to the beer mic. Will you marry me? Well, it is a pale orangey yellow with a nice white head and smells very, it's a kind of a floral and citrus kind of mix, a little bit of hoppy bitterness kind of floating in there. So maybe those flavors will transition from stuff in my nose to stuff in my tongue. Let me taste it. Wow, that is an interesting flavor. It's sour and then has the hop bitterness kick in, kind of a very, very floral bitterness and very interesting balance. You can definitely taste the salt too. Huh, it's nice. I think I will double down on double down. Think next year is going to be rough? Well, be thankful it's not a million years from now when multiple chunks of rocky death will be streaming down from the skies.
We're all going to die!
Engadget reports that Polish astronomers have calculated the path of an oncoming star, and it might come as close to our solar system by about 77 light days distant. And that's days, not years. Far enough out that it won't smack into any of our planets, but close enough to disrupt all the frozen bits floating around in the Oort cloud, the band of material encircling the solar system at about 0.8 to 3.16 light-years out. The star, Gliese 710, was discovered in 1999 to be heading right for us at a leisurely speed of 32,000 miles per hour, and is currently 64 light-years distant. So it'll cover that distance in about a million years. But so what if it grazes the Oort cloud? Well, Gliese's gravity could yank a bunch of those frozen rocks out of the cloud and send them spiraling towards the nearest gravity well, which would be our solar system. But how much of that junk would be sent spiraling in, really? Well, researchers think that Gliese 710 could pull about 0.1% of material out of the Oort cloud, which is about 100 million objects. Yay. That means constant meteor showers and the appearance of about 10 new comets a year for about a million years after its flyby. Some astronomers believe a similar star grazing sent the meteors responsible for wiping out the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, but Gliese's journey would be much, much worse than that. In fact, when it's just 77 light days away, it will be the brightest and fastest moving object in the sky. On the bright side, I think the human race will be long gone by then, either living somewhere else or just plain old extinct. So enough talk about space objects, let's talk about atmospheric objects. TechCrunch came across an interesting patent filed by Amazon back in late 2014. It details floating distribution centers from which goods can be transported to and from via flying drones. The Airborne Fulfillment Center would incorporate a large lighter-than-air dirigible with an entire warehouse hanging underneath floating overhead at an altitude of about 45,000 feet. These would be deployed near areas where Amazon predicts a spike in product ordering could occur and be loaded with the product predicted to be in demand. For example, they could send one of these to a major sports ball event loaded with sports ball merchandise, and it could be plastered with advertisements for Amazon and the sports ball event itself. The patent also details that special shuttles would carry product and drones up to the platforms, so drone power could be reserved for deliveries directly from the platform and not going to the platform and then coming back out with the stuff. The shuttles, drones, and platform would also utilize a wireless mesh network, sending weather and wind data between flying drones and shuttles to help them navigate, and could also transmit additional content to consumers. If you don't mind having giant warehouses floating over your head, this could be interesting. I am immediately reminded of the scenes in Blade Runner that depict floating advertisements for living the good life in the off-world colonies. Which, now that I think about it, might be a good place to move to avoid Gliese 710. And from the sky into the ground, a recent presentation at the American Geophysical Union meeting last week suggests that a volcano or volcanoes are forming underneath New Hampshire, reports Gizmodo. Presenter geologist Bill Menke from Columbia University's Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory said, "I would not be surprised if, in a few million years, we had volcanoes again on the east coast of the United States. The east coast of North America is what's known as a passive margin to Earth scientists, meaning the only dynamic geological activity is erosion." Menke decided to make a closer examination of the area that is often overlooked by geologists, as, he says, "because when you look at them, you discover they're actually pretty active, even though they lack plate tectonics." Menke looked closer at the North Appalachian Anomaly, a hotspot in the upper mantle underneath southern New Hampshire that's about 250 miles wide. Geologists and earth scientists have known about it for quite some time, but it has generally been thought of as a remnant from when the East Coast was more geologically active. However, Menke's new data suggests that the anomaly might be something quite different. The spot is about 2,300 degrees Fahrenheit, which is twice as hot as had been previously thought, and the shape and orientation of the anomaly indicates that hot mantle material is currently rising to the surface. Menke believes that these rising hotspots are caused by the continental drift tugging at hot mantle material, causing updrafts, and these updrafts could potentially breach the surface, creating new volcanoes in areas that are seemingly inactive. Similar heat anomalies have been found under northern Virginia, South Carolina, and in Louisiana, so who knows? In a million years, we might have new volcanoes to enjoy, along with Gliese 710 throwing space rocks at us. So, tomorrow is the first day of the year 2017. Now, I personally don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I feel like everyone can resolve to change their behavior at any point in the year. But if you need the arbitrary calendar change to embark on new adventures, might I suggest you resolve to learn how to make handmade paper? You can do that at this show's sponsor, Pulp & Deckel, which is Portland's only community handmade papermaking studio. Pulp & Deckel's mission is to keep the art of papermaking alive with mobile workshops, demonstrations, and by creating and selling beautiful handmade paper products. Yes, we have mobile workshops, we have a truck, and we are working on ideas on how to bring the paper party to you! Browse the rotating selection of papermaking workshops, check out membership options, inquire about custom orders, take an online recycled papermaking class, and check out our progress in crafting mobile class options, which include even offering mobile studio for rent, by visiting pulpanddeckel.com. That is pulpanddeckle.com. Mars won't be far enough out to avoid the effects of Gliese 710, but learning how to live there could help the human race learn how to live in an entirely different solar system. Living on Mars will be tricky. The atmosphere is too thin to protect against deadly cosmic rays, plus it's really cold there. Engadget passes along a living solution dreamt up by NASA's Langley Research Center. It's a donut-shaped shelter made from ice! Sort of. The concept involves a large inflatable torus with a lining of water ice, which not only insulates, but also shields against those deadly cosmic rays. The structure is intended to be lightweight for easy transportation to the red planet, and can utilize the water available on Mars itself to fill the ice layer. Based on current theoretical Martian water recovery techniques, it would take about 400 Earth days to fill the shell using just Martian water. which is quite a long time. But this could be part of an unmanned setup mission, sending out a rocket full of robots down to Mars well ahead of the human peoples and getting everything set up for them. Because the ice donut would sit above the ground, getting it set up autonomously would be trivial. No digging or Martian concrete required in its construction. Yay, donuts! Is there anything that they can't do other than prevent diabetes? Speaking of food, I have yet another story about the convergence of fast food and advanced technology. It unfortunately doesn't involve pizza, but I'm still going to consider this under the umbrella of pizza tech. TechCrunch reports that Chinese internet search giant Baidu has partnered with KFC China to create a special new restaurant that will incorporate facial recognition to make menu suggestions. The system will utilize image recognition software to scan your face, inferring mood and analyzing age and gender to suggest which chicken the machine would like to put in your face. In a press release, Baidu claims the system would inform a, quote, male customer in his early 20s should order a, quote, a set meal of crispy chicken hamburger, roasted chicken wings, and Coke for lunch. I don't know what crispy chicken hamburger is, but... It also would suggest to a, quote, female customer in her 50s that she should have porridge and soybean milk for breakfast. I don't quite know why a female customer in her 50s would be asking a robot for breakfast suggestions at a KFC, but I won't judge. And, of course, the system will remember your face and keep a history of your orders to better fine-tune its meal suggestions. That information would also be welcomed with open arms by any government, so be careful when getting KFC in China, I guess. Being an indecisive foodie, this could actually come in handy once privacy concerns were addressed. Okay, virtual assistant, do I look depressed enough to eat at Hardee's? Gizmodo has told me that a mysterious sound recorded in 2014 and 2015, emanating from the Mariana Trench, may have finally been identified. The sound has confused scientists trying to determine what was creating it, as it seems to have both mechanical and biological aspects. I have a recording of what's been called the bio-twang, which I will play for you in a moment. The sounds consist of five parts, last no longer than 3.5 seconds, has deep moans that bottom out at 30 hertz, and a twang at the end that peaks as high as 8,000 hertz. Are you ready to hear it? Creepy. The Journal of the Acoustical Society of America has published new research that seems to point the finger at a species of baleen whale that has been making the sounds, most likely dwarf minke whales. This is exciting for marine biologists, as this is an entirely new call for that species from what has been previously documented. Marine bioacoustics expert at Oregon State University Sharon Newkirk says, "It's very distinct, with all these crazy parts. The low-frequency moaning part is typical of baleen whales, and it's that kind of twangy sound that makes it really unique. We don't find many new baleen whale calls. The call resembles one called the Star Wars call, made by dwarf minke whales that dwell in the Great Barrier Reef off the northern coast of Australia. And you know I have that recording. Here we go." I don't really know why it's called the Star Wars call, but... Newkirk says that researchers really don't know what the call is indicating. If it's a mating call, why does it occur all the time? Does it tend to occur more in the summer or winter? And is the call distributed amongst many different pods? Our hope is to mount an expedition to go out and do acoustic localization, find the animals, get biopsy samples, and find out exactly what's making the sound, said Newkirk. It really is an amazing, weird sound, and good science will explain it. Love those sounds. And I have another animal story to round out 2016, and it's about those lovely mice with wings, bats. The Guardian reports that researchers from Tel Aviv University in Israel has been able to create a sort of bat speech translation device. The research was published in the journal Scientific Reports. The team modified a machine learning algorithm originally designed for human speech recognition. It was designed to apply previously learned categorized patterns and apply them to new datasets. The team primed the algorithm with about 15,000 bat calls made by seven adult female bats and categorized them using information from the video footage of the bats making the calls. They then collected 22 Egyptian fruit bats, split them into two groups in separate cages, and made video and audio recordings of the bats continuously for 75 days, and fed that data into the algorithm. This resulted in the researchers being able to identify which bats were arguing with each other, the outcome of each argument, and sort the arguments into four distinct subjects: sleep, food, perching positions, and unwanted mating attempts. Sounds a lot like regular human arguments. If you're wondering what Egyptian fruit bats sound like, I have a little sound clip here that I'm going to play for you right now. Alright, that's enough of that. Based only on the frequencies of the bat's screeching, the algorithm correctly identified the bat making a call 71% of the time, and what the screeching was about with an accuracy rate of about 61%. The system could also, but not nearly as accurately, suss out who the screeching was directed at and predict the results of the argument, determining if the bats would just part ways and which bat would be the one to walk away, or I guess would fly away or walk upside down away. I haven't seen some bats in a while. Yossi Yovel, co-author of the research, said, "We have shown that a big bulk of bat vocalizations that previously were thought to all mean the same thing, something like, get out of here, actually contain a lot of information." University College London professor of ecology and biodiversity, Kate Jones, was excited by the results, speculating, "It could be that you could apply the same type of techniques to other species to figure out what they mean when they're interacting with each other," she said. "So it could be that it opens up a different world of understanding what these communications are. You know, in my rich fantasy world, I like to imagine all the bats say is, I am the knight, and where are the drugs going? And my parents are dead, because Batman? Call to action, ad read segment, take one, and go." Hey, I have another suggestion for you if you're into that whole New Year's resolution thing. How about resolving to help me keep producing this show? There are many ways you can accomplish this, but here are the three best ways. First, my voice is for hire. I can do voiceover work, voicemail messages, mediocre acting, bad singing, and some perfectly adequate audio production. I love being adequate. If you feel you have a use for the best part of my body, which happens to be my voice and parts of my brain, let me know. Email me at gary@pulpanddeckle.com. That is G-A-R-Y at P-U-L-P-A-N-D-D-E-C-K-L-E.com. Rates are reasonable. Do you use iTunes? If so, might I suggest you rate and possibly review my show there? Just search for I'll Have a Beer and Talk, and go on, give me 5 stars. You can also make me blush by giving the show a glowing review. It actually does make a difference. The more ratings I have, the more my scrappy little show might show up as a suggestion for people looking for more esoteric beer and or technology podcasts. And if you believe what I'm doing here is worth, you know, roughly 20 minutes of your attention each week, and want to show your approval by financially supporting each episode, you can become my patron and donate at least $1 a month to the show. If you want to throw some money at me, you can do that at patreon.com/ihabitradio. That is patreon.com/ihabitradio. All that money goes right back into production costs, which include now pipe and drum cores, evidently. Hey, I might actually start doing some video content in the new year, but only if I can upgrade some equipment. Please help. And now to fade out that music and fade in the closing theme. Please tell your family, friends, neighbors, and randos you pass by out in that real world about the show, and that they can find it on Google Play Music, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and on Spreaker. And you should check out ihabitradio.weebly.com for extra content whenever it shows up. And please send me feedback, story suggestions, and beer recommendations to gary@pulpanddeckle.com. Or on the Twitters and Instagram at ihabitradio, or even on the Facebook at facebook.com/ihabitradio. It's time for me to go. I will see you in the future. Bye-bye!